Pastor Mike Fritcher and the Cottonwood family would like to welcome you to Living on Every Word.
Worship and sing a song of praise. Come into His house of joy sustained. Living on Every Word.
The very heart of heaven is that when God created you, He created you that you might belong to Him. You see it in verse 24 when He says, Father, I desire that they also, whom You've given Me, be with Me where I am. Folks, won't you see that? That no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what life is thrown at you, God wants you. He wants you to belong to Him.
Living on Every Word.
Living on Every Word.
If you have your Bibles, do turn to John chapter 17. John chapter 17, we are on the ninth message today on John 17. It's the final message in this series on praying like Christ, on praying like the Lord Jesus Christ. We come down to verse 24 this morning, and just by way of opening, I want to ask, do you remember when you were a child, you might even remember when this might even happen as an adult, when you were playing with a team, or you were splitting off teams to play, maybe a flag football, maybe a, or like us when I was growing up, we had this lot next door to our house where all the neighborhood kids came, and we played football, and we played soccer, and we played softball, and we played tag, and we played all kinds of competitive sports, and inevitably, you know, one person would be a captain of one team and another would be the captain of another. And do you remember as time went by, as they picked one another, that somehow in the mix, because maybe you were too young or because maybe you just lacked the athletic ability, that you were picked last or next to last? Do you remember that? I remember that. Okay. You might have been some great athlete that was the captain when you were the youngest there, but I tell you, I remember those days. And, you know, I think that back over those days as a child, and I realize that as I grow up, there's this something in my spirit, in your spirit, that cries out for belonging. I want to belong to something. I want to belong to someone. And it's just as that childlike experience at the football field or the baseball diamond. You wanted to belong, and you wanted to belong to the guy who's the captain, who was the best, who was the most excellent player and the most excellent athlete. You wanted to belong to that guy's team. You wanted to belong to the winner. You wanted to belong, to, as you grew up, to some kind of, maybe some kind of friendship group. You know, our children are like that. You see that they want to belong, either to the sports or to some extracurricular activity. And if they're rejected, their heart is broken. And you know what? You know why? It's because God has placed within every one of us this desire to belong, but it's to belong to Him. Not to culture, not to the sport team, not to the extracurricular activity, but to belong to Him and to Him alone. It's His desire. His desire from heaven is that you do belong. That's why He placed it in your spirit. The problem is we chase after, in every age group of our lives, we chase after these groups or these groups of people for the sense of belonging that only God can fulfill and will fulfill. We must stop chasing. We must stop allowing our children to chase after belonging to something that is vanity without God and without Christ. The very heart of the gospel, the very heart of heaven, is that when God created you, He created you that you might belong to Him. That's why He created Adam and Eve, so that they might belong to Him, that they might walk this life out together in oneness and in fellowship, in great happiness and great joy. But at the garden, we know that man fell because man decided he would live his own way and belong to something other than God. And at that moment, in that moment in time, man was separated from God. But yet the desire of God never changed. It never changes because of your rebellion, because of you sticking your nose in the face of God and saying, I'm going to live my own way, and I'm going to follow my own carton or my own flesh or my own sin. God still has this great desire. You see it in verse 24 when he says, Father, I desire that they also, whom you've given me, be with me where I am. I want them. I desire them. Folks, won't you see that? Won't you understand that? That no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what life is thrown at you, God wants you. He wants you to belong to Him. So intense is this desire that I've come to believe over the last several weeks that everything that the Lord Jesus Christ prayed in John 17 was so that verse 24 might be fulfilled in your life. Everything that He prayed, so that you might belong to Him and not to any other, not to belong to any other God. When you look at these men sharing their faith, they belong to other gods. They belong to the God of this earth. They belong to the enemy. And they even said, you know, I'm not going after idols anymore. I can't go after idols anymore because I serve the only God, the God who is only. That's who they have found. And it's the only God that you'll ever, ever, ever find fulfillment and that sense of belonging. Nothing in this life that you chase will you ever feel that you really belong until you are in relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. His desire is to be with you and for you to be with Him forever. If you turn to John chapter 14, verse 1, just a page back, and look what he says when he's on his way to the cross. When he's on his way to resurrection, he says, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be troubled. Did you hear that? How often has your heart been troubled this week? How often has it been troubled? How often have you found anxiety? How often has peace eluded you? Well, he says, don't let it be troubled. If you believe in God, well, believe also in me. Put your faith, put your trust, put your hope, everything that you have in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. Some translations say rooms. Some say mansions. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare, watch this, a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again. I'm going to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What assurance, what a peace, what a life, what a glory, what a power of God in our lives, that I can see my God, my Christ, who died for me, who lived for me, and I can see Him going to heaven and preparing a place for me so that where He is, I will be with Him also forever. What a great God. What other God promises that? What other idol in your life? What other thing that you've been chasing in your life has promised this kind of security, this kind of hope, this kind of life? I want to tell you, no other God, and you've never found it apart from Him. And you never will. You never, ever will. My friend, He's the shepherd who loves to be with His sheep, the brother who loves to be with His family. He's the father who loves to be with His children, the king who loves to be with His subjects, the God who loves to be with His people, the husband who loves to be with His wife. He's the captain who loves to be with His troops. He's the coach who loves to be with His players. I want to tell you, folks, He's the one that wants you. He's the one that desires you. He's the one, He says in this scripture, God, it's not just a desire. This is my will, that they be with me. That they be with me forever. And the question I want to ask you this morning is, who are you with today? Who are you with? When I started taking kids to Six Flags as a junior high youth minister, inevitably, on every trip, I'd see one or two couples wearing this shirt. The guy would have this shirt, and on it, in big red letters, was stupid. You remember that? And his girlfriend is wearing this T-shirt with the same lettering, red lettering, and it says, I am with stupid. And it's got this arrow, so they got to walk together. He's stupid, and she's with stupid. I don't know about you, I don't want to be with stupid. And I certainly don't want to be stupid. Can you imagine? I got a gift for you today. Here's your shirt. You're going to wear this all day long. right? Gosh, you must be in love, or you must be crazy, right? My word. Hey, I don't want to be there. I don't want to be with that. I don't want to walk with that. But how often do we walk with people that are not godly, that we belong to things that are not, that do not bring glory and honor to God? How often do we belong to organizations and things and purposes that do not have anything to do with God? Why is it that we'll walk this walk without Him? And all along we're saying, you know what, I want to go to heaven one day, and I want to be with Him one day, but I'm not sure if I want to be with Him right now. I think I'll be with this group. I think I'll walk this way right now, and hopefully one day, you know, got my ticket punched, I walked the aisle, I got this ticket punched, and one day I'll be with Him forever. But you know what you say by your lifestyle? Thanks God, I'll wait till forever, but right now, I just want to be with somebody else right now. I want to be with some other kind of philosophy. I want to be with some kind of other, I want to walk a different way than you. You know what that is? You know what that is? That's the problem why we're separated from God. That's the reason why our prayers aren't answered. It's because we got this sin problem in our lives that we want to walk our own way. And then somehow think that at the end of my life, that because I prayed a prayer, that I'm going to go to heaven one day and be with Him forever. No, He wants to be with you right now. That's the part of the deal, folks. That's the part of it that we cannot miss. That we can't miss, that God desires you right now. He's preparing that place for you. You know, we look at this sin problem in our lives. Now turn to Romans chapter 3, if you would. Romans chapter 3. Look at this problem here. What's the problem with us not being able to be with God right now? It's because of our sin nature. God is a God who opens His arms up. The Bible says in even the Old Testament, I stretch out my hands for you. I'm stretching, I'm welcoming you home, and yet you're ignoring me. You're thumbing your nose at me, and you're walking a different way, and you're following after other stuff and junk of this life. The Scripture says in verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There's none who understands, none who seeks for God. All have turned aside, together they become useless. None who does good, there's not even one. Their throat's an open grave. With their tongues, they keep deceiving. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their paths. And the path of peace they've not known. And there's no fear of God before their eyes. And some of us might say, well, that's not me. Well, I want to tell you, Scripture says there's none righteous, folks. Folks, if you think that you're righteous when you come to this world, why do you think you would need a Savior? Why do you think you'd need a Savior? We're not just a bunch of good old people, folks. We are sold into bondage of sin. We have gone our own way. We might look good. We might be more moral than the guy down the street. We might not do the things he does, but the Scripture says that the heart is deceitfully wicked above all else. The problem with not being able to spend eternity with God is my sin. It's the sin in my life. It's the rebellion. Isaiah 59:1 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, neither is His ear so dull that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He does not hear. So what does Christ do in His intense desire? What's what He's been doing in John 17, as we've been seeing the past 9 weeks? What He does is he sees the desire, He sees the problem, so what He does is He prays. He intercedes. And when you look at John 17, you see that in verse 3, He'll pray for your salvation. You'll see that as He's interceding for your perseverance, that you'll persevere to the end. Because Scripture says that if you don't persevere to the end, you don't make it. So He prays for perseverance. Prays for our sanctification, because the Scripture says without sanctification no one sees the Lord. And He prays for our oneness, this desire that He sees, that He will see in our lives, that we desire to be one with one another. It's the desire of heaven. But you know what He does? He goes from John 17 after praying it, and you know what He does? He goes to the cross to pay the debt off. Prays it, pays it. Does whatever is necessary. Matter of fact, when He's in that garden praying this prayer, He's asking God to take the cup from Him if there's any other way. And there is no other way. He's got to pay it. It's got to be paid with blood. Folks, not only does He pray it, not only does He speak it, not only does He talk it, but He's going to walk it straight to Golgotha on that cross 2,000 years ago so that you might find salvation, you might find sanctification, so that you might find perseverance, that you might find oneness, so that you might be with Him forever. But right now, not 10 years from now. And I ask the question, if you're waiting, what are you waiting for? If you know this is truth, if you know this is the Word, why are you waiting? What are you waiting for? God wants your whole heart so much that He prayed and He paid it. The Scripture says in Romans 5:8, God demonstrates His own love toward us that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to be looking at this passage. It's pretty much the next series on reconciliation and walking in the ministry of reconciliation. And notice what he says. Verse 17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things have come. Listen, when you've come to Christ, Scripture says you're a new man. You're a new woman. You're a new creature. You're not the same guy anymore. You're not the same lady. You're not the same kid you were before, because God has come into your heart, into your life, to transform you. And these things, this newness is from God, who did what? Who reconciled us, who made us one to Himself through Christ, and then gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. He didn't count your trespasses against you, which He committed to us, the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we're ambassadors for Christ. We represent Christ as though God were making appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Watch verse 21. He made Him who knew no sin, the sinless Lamb of God, to be sin on our behalf. That's your sin. That's my sin. That's your grief and my grief. That's your pain and your failure. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf. Why? So that you might become the righteousness of God in Him. Why? Because He wanted you forever. He wants to be with you, folks. And if you know Christ, I want to tell you, if you really know Him, I'm sorry to tell you this, but you have no choice. You will be miserable in your sin. You will be you know what we call it? We call it the holy misery. It's where I walk in rebellion when I know better. I walk in rebellion when I know better. And the question that I want to ask is folks, do you desire the same, with the same kind of intensity that God desired? Such a desire that says He prayed and He paid for it. Do I have that kind of desire to pray and then to pay for it? To lay down my life, the Scripture says, to lay down my life for the brethren. I look at the Bible and I look at men who desired to be with God. They didn't thumb their nose up at God. They didn't just say, I'm going to live with Him forever, but I'm going to walk the way I want to walk right now. No, they came to Christ and they started walking immediately. Immediately. And I want to ask you, are you walking today? Are you walking with Him with this great desire? Paul said in Philippians 1:23, I'm hard-pressed from both directions. I want a desire. I have this such insatiable desire to depart from my body so that I might be with Him forever in His presence. It's the desire of heaven. It's the desire of the believer. I think about the thief on the cross. He said, "Would you remember me?" And you know what Jesus says? Today, I'm going to tell you, you're going to be with me in paradise. How does one man nailed to a cross, watching and hearing the words of Jesus, saying, "Father, forgive them," seeing the glory of God, reject it and curse Him, and was more important for his skin to be saved than his soul? And then another man seeing the same thing, and yet crying out to God, "Lord, I want to be with You. Remember me. Remember me." And Jesus speaking, "Today you will be with me in paradise. Today." I'm going to tell you, Scripture speaks, you don't have to wait till you die to experience our great God. Amen. I see Moses in Exodus 33:14. I want you to turn there. We're going to close with this. Moses desired the presence of God, the peace of God, the life of God. If you remember, we talked about a couple of weeks ago the glory of God, the same situation. Verse 13 of chapter 33. "Therefore I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways, that I may know you, so that I may find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people." And God said to him, "My presence is going to go with you, and I'm going to give you rest." And He said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, then do not lead us up from here. We don't want to move an inch without you. We want to go with you. When you have that kind of spirit and that kind of attitude, when you say, God, I don't want to move another inch without your blessing, without your presence, and without your life, I want to tell you, you got it. You got it. Now I want to ask you this question. How many of us are asking that question to God in every decision that we're making? God, I want you to go with me. When God goes with us, you know, the Scripture says, first of all, God's going to give you rest. That's the first thing. And I want to tell you, all of us in this room need rest, don't we? I mean, we do. And I'm not talking about physical rest. I know we all need that. But we need a spiritual rest where we can just relax in the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what storm is blowing. I read this story in Mark chapter 4 this week. And they're in this boat. The Scripture says they set out on a boat across the lake, and there were other boats following. And all of a sudden, the wind picked up, the waves started beating, rain started falling, the waves got into the boat, filling the boat. And where was Jesus? He's asleep. Asleep on the cushion. In the stern, of all places. He's asleep. And they're perishing. Okay. Now, let me tell you something. I grew up, most of you know, in New Orleans, Louisiana, threatened by hurricanes throughout any given year. And for some reason, most of these hurricanes came through the night. I don't know what it is about hurricanes hitting New Orleans, but they usually come at night. And so what we did was we'd stay up, and we'd have this vigil. And you know when I knew when it was okay? When my dad said, when the wind's still blowing, rain's still falling, when my dad said, well, I'm going to bed, I'm going to sleep. You know what I knew? That when my dad wasn't pacing, I knew that when he wasn't worried, and he wasn't walking in anxiety, when he was ready to go to sleep, I knew that I'd go to sleep and sleep sound. See, I want to tell you, Jesus sleeping in the boat, that's a good sign. If he can relax, if he can rest, you can find the same rest because it's the presence of God in your life. Now, there's another passage of Scripture that says that he never sleeps, he never slumbers, he always watches. And I just want to tell you this. Even when you think he's sleeping, he's got an eye on you. And it's a good eye. I mean, it's an eye that just wants to bless you, that wants to move in your life, that wants to show you the promises of God, that wants to build his life in you. And even though you go through the storm, know this, even if you think that he doesn't care, he cares. As a matter of fact, he's just saying, listen, I want you to walk in faith, the same kind of faith that would cause me to fall asleep in one of the worst gales that you've ever experienced in your life. He gets up, he rebukes their faith, and he says, hush, be still. And you know what happens. It becomes completely still. And you know what I like about this story? Is there's a bunch of other boats out on that water that don't have Jesus sleeping in their stern. And I want to tell you, when God's presence is in your life and you get peace because he's in your life, do you know what? That peace will spread to the other boats on that ocean. You get to have impact in people's lives. When God's presence goes with you, there is rest. There is this settling down and remaining and being such a calm sense about you where there is no fear, no worry, no anxiety. But there's another thing that happens when God's presence is with you. It's his grace. It's his favor. He says, listen, I know if you go with us, you have found favor in our sight. I love the word grace in the Old Testament. It just means that which is pleasant and agreeable. And I was reading in another older Hebrew work that says, you know what it means? When you got grace all over you, it means he likes you. He likes you. Our God loves you, but not only does he love you, he likes you. Can you imagine that? You've heard that before. Well, I love him, but I don't have to like him. Well, what's that? That's not too godly, is it? Is that godly? That's not godly. That's ungodly. I'll love him, but I'm just not going to like him. Well, listen, God likes you. He just doesn't love you. Can you imagine God said, well, you know what? All my life, all your life, I've loved you, but I just didn't like you. What kind of God is that? Well, a God who wants to be with you. A shepherd who wants to be with his sheep. There's this grace that comes into your life. And then the third thing is, final thing, is that there's distinction. The word means to be distinguished from everyone else. To be distinct, marked out, separated. And there's even a thought in this word that means to be a wonderful person, like God is wonderful. Folks, when God is with you, when I am with you, there is rest, grace, there's distinction, the very qualities of life that we desire so much. Question I'm asking this morning is, who are you with today? Who's with you? I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? I want to ask you this question if this speaks of your life. Yeah, I want to live with Him forever when I die in this hell. But for right now, I'm just living for myself. Just living for myself. Well, folks, I just want to tell you that's the source of your unhappiness today. It's the source of your defeat. It's the source of why you can't get things together. I'm just going to tell you this. When God's with you, when God's presence is in your life, you're going to find rest that you've been looking for all your life. That rest is going to come on you. You're going to be able to relax in Christ. You're going to be able to sleep through storms, folks. It's going to be such a peace in your life. Like the psalmist said, I lay down and slept even though 10,000 people were surrounding me to kill me. Why? Because of the presence of God in their lives. God wanting to be with you. There is rest. There is favor. There is distinction. Now, I want to ask you, how distinguished are you from the rest of the world? It's incredible to me that we call ourselves Christians in this culture, but we look more and more like the culture instead of like the kingdom. This ought not be. When God is with you, you are distinctly different, and people see it. I want to ask, who do you desire to be with today? Everything and everyone else but God? Or is this desire as strong as Christ's? And are you willing to pray it? And are you willing to pay for it? Are you willing to lay down your life? Are you willing to lay down the things of this world that have never brought you joy and happiness in the first place? To lay it down and to embrace the cross today in a new, fresh way. Let me ask you this question. Is God with your relationships today? Is God with your marriage? If God's with your marriage today, you know what? You're distinguished from the rest of the world. Your marriage is. Your marriage has rest all over it. It's got the favor of God all over it. Folks, are you walking with Him today? Is He with you? That's His desire. He prayed for it. He paid for it. Would you embrace it today? You may be here this morning. You may say, you know, I've not walked with them. You're speaking to me today. Well, I'm going to ask you to respond to that by embracing the cross today. Maybe you need to walk this aisle for prayer. Maybe just for someone to pray for you or to talk with you. Maybe you've come to be a part of this church that says, I want to walk with this church in fellowship. And allow God to rise up in me the giftedness that He has given to me, and we want to be a part of this body. Maybe there's just a specific prayer need that you have that maybe has nothing to do with this morning, but just some things going on in your life. Well, people want to pray for you. We receive you for that. But whatever God's doing, whatever God's saying, would you respond to Him today? You don't have to walk the aisle to respond, folks. But respond to what He's saying. Move with what He's saying. He wants you with Him, folks. Wants you with Him. Father, I thank You for that. I thank You for that. That You prayed for it, You paid for it. So that we might be with You forever. Today and forever. Father, I pray we'd walk in that distinction. We'd walk in that favor. We'd walk in that rest today. And I praise You for Your answers. I praise You for Your work. In Jesus' name, amen.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood or to obtain a copy of today's message, please call us at 254-445-2929 or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com.